I have a fairly predictable early morning routine. When I wake up, it is my job to be the one who makes the coffee. And it is also my job to let the dog out. And then I sit down and I pull up the New York Times on my iPad. It's almost like clockwork. Every day is the same. I'm sort of like a living embodiment, a real-life version of Groundhog Day, repeating the same morning over and over again, but thankfully without Sonny and Cher. But in recent months, Melody tells me that I have changed my routine just a little bit, that I have a new aspect to the morning. Groaning. Now, mostly, it is involuntary. I've got the New York Times up on my iPad. I can see some heads nodding. You know about what it feels like. I've got the New York Times up on my iPad. I'm reading and I'm drinking my coffee, and some sort of troublesome, painful bit of news crosses my eyes, and I take a deep, exasperated breath. Now, Melody, who hates to read the news in the morning, frankly, she is fairly opposed to it at any time of day, has been giving me a lot of grief over these moans and groans. She says that she's just sitting there trying to drink her coffee in the few precious quiet moments in our household. We have small children, after all. And here I am over to the side, interrupting her peace and quiet in the early morning with all of my sighing and moaning. But to my surprise this week, and as a defense against her, accusations, I read the lesson from Romans, and I discovered that my early morning routine actually bears some elements of fundamental Christian practice. Because as Christians, we are supposed to groan. This morning we heard some more of Paul's letter to the Romans. We've been reading Romans throughout these summer months. And this morning we heard this little bit. Paul says, "The whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." If this letter to the Romans is to be believed, then we, and in fact the entirety of God's creation, are meant to be groaning. And not only each of us and the world, but even the Holy Spirit is groaning too. Next week we will hear the next bit of the 8th chapter of the letter to the Romans, in which Paul says this: "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." Now, the Greek word that is here translated sighs is stenogmos, which could also be translated, you guessed it, groans. Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit is groaning in prayer, right along with all of creation, right along with all of us. Now, it is, if you think about it, a pretty strange thing for the Bible to say. We often believe, after all, that being a Christian is about being perpetually joyful, perpetually peaceful and content, no matter what our lot may be in life. When I ask people why it is that they come to church, the number one response is always, "I come because it makes me feel good." So it might seem strange for Paul to say to us that part of being a Christian is about groaning, that part of the life of a faithful Christian is to groan, to cry out, to sigh too deeply for words, right alongside with the Holy Spirit. But the truth is that an authentic part of a prayer life is groaning. My friend Jennifer Phillips is a priest in New England, and she once told me a story that has stuck with me ever since about a time she spent with some nuns on a prayer retreat. Now, these nuns are women who have spent the great majority of their lives praying. praying together in worship, praying the Psalms, praying quietly in the solitude of their cells, they are what you might refer to as prayer professionals. So when this group of nuns arrived at this prayer retreat, they expected a whole lot more of the same, that the facilitator for this retreat would read to them a few beautiful quotes from the Bible about prayer and the power of prayer, and then send them off to do what they already knew how to do best, pray. Instead, the facilitator of this prayer retreat for nuns read to them these few verses from Paul's letter to the Romans, and then instructed all of the nuns to lie down on the floor of the chapel where they were meeting. And then he said, "Now groan. Spend the next hour groaning your prayer to God." My friend Jennifer says that the room was silent for several moments. You can imagine how awkward this must have been for several moments. And then one of the nuns finally broke that silence with a soft, tentative, almost half-hearted grunt. And then very quickly, the chapel was filled with the sound of nearly two dozen nuns groaning from the depth of their souls, with groans so deep and earnest and prayerful that it would make you think it'd split the air and break your heart. The nuns, the prayer professionals, had found a new aspect to their prayer life, praying along with the Holy Spirit with groans too deep for words. We spend a lot of our time trying to find the right words to say to each other and to God. Frankly, far too many of us pray far too little because we think that our words aren't polished or pretty enough to say to God, that somehow we don't know how to pray very well. Perhaps all of our focus on finding the perfect words to say to God is the wrong impulse. Perhaps we could actually say more by speaking less as we communicate to God the deepest feelings and yearnings of our souls. Perhaps what we need to learn is the art of the spiritual groan. Because the truth is that if we're honest, there is a lot in this world for us to groan about. Groaning is what I do in response to the 3,700 students in the Dallas ISD who are homeless, to the 12 species that will go extinct today as a result of climate change, to the 5 million Syrian refugees who are still wandering the world in search of safety and peace, to the 740 adolescent girls who will be sex trafficked in Texas this month, to the field of plastic waste that is larger than the state of Texas that is currently floating around somewhere in the northern Pacific Ocean, to the reality that more than 50 years after the civil rights movement, the number of hate groups in our country is actually on the rise, and that Texas is home to more than 55 of them. I fully believe that when we groan at all of these signs of brokenness in our world, it is more than simply an involuntary reaction of grief and frustration. I believe it is prayer. These things about our world make the Holy Spirit groan because they reveal a world that is plagued by sin and death, a world that is far from what it was intended to be. And so our groans merely echo the groans of the Holy Spirit. Yes, groaning, the groaning of Christians in prayer, it ought to fill the whole world. Now, this may sound, well, a little depressing. Who wants to be part of a community of people who are down in the mouth, who spend all the time complaining and groaning? Or perhaps it may sound more than a little indulgent to you. After all, who are we to groan when others have it so much worse than we do? But the thing is, I believe this groaning is not grounded in despair or woe is me or even fatalism. I believe it is grounded in hope. When we groan with the Holy Spirit, we groan about that for which we hope. Because as Paul says, we hope not for things that we can see, but for things we cannot see, for things that we are still waiting for. I groan for Syrian refugees because I hope for the day when swords will be beaten into plowshares and people will study war no more. I groan for all of the homeless and trafficked youth of Dallas because I hope for the day when we will protect the most vulnerable members of our society. Hope is the bedrock of the Christian life. It is a trust that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed in us. This present reality is not the way that things will always be. Our God has more in store for us than we can ask for or imagine. What causes us to groan today will eventually be distant memories in the eternal arc of the kingdom of God. So I want to invite you today, my friends, to groan. To groan right along with those nuns. To groan out your sadness and your yearning. To groan from your grief and to groan from your hope. To groan wherever and whenever you cannot find the words to speak what it is that you feel to God. Groan right along with the Holy Spirit, trusting that she is groaning too. Groaning with the love and compassion that will bring all things to their most glorious end. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.